Hey everyone, this is episode 13 of Noodle Time. Welcome. Here with me is straight out of Ted Siegel's ownership group is Tony Rubio. Tony, say hello.
Hey everyone, I just wanted to let everybody know that I was the one that fronted the money to Ted Siegel to buy the Dynamo. I just didn't want my name out there, you know, try to keep it low key, but now you guys know the cat's out of the hat.
Yeah, you have to keep everything personal, you know. If living that low key life.
Yeah, it wouldn't look too good if a super fan of the Dynamo bought him, you know. Nobody wants that.
Yeah. just a quick note before we start the episode. So this episode is going to be a little bit different compared to the last few ones, only because due to time constraints and the fact that there's been a ton of news from last week, we're going to somewhat summarize everything that happened over the course of the show. We're not going to go into we're not going to expand into all that information as we always do. We're just going to point out the most important points and the most important thoughts from each of the three games from last week, and also all the news that happened for the Dynamo and Dash, as well as Dynamo Lone Army at the end. So, yeah. So just to keep that in mind for this episode. And yeah,
Of course, the episode where we have the most information to give and talk about is the one that we have to cut the shortest. Yeah, if you guys don't know, me and Andres have clashing schedules very much this week, so we're recording this during my work lunch and before Andres goes to work. So, you know, we got to make that moolah to keep investing in the Dynamo ownership group, obviously, so bear with us.
Yeah, Fox electricity for my house is not cheap, so I have to work for it, you know. And yeah, let's go ahead and get into the episode, so we can go ahead and get ourselves started with the games first. Obviously, the Dynamo had two games last week, playing the Portland Timbers at home and RSL on the road. Both were ties. The game against Portland, it was the game I'm still upset about for obvious reasons. And it was more of a old-fashioned Dynamo second half performance. And I didn't get to see the game live because I was at work, as well as for the RSL games, but I did watch the replays for both. Compared to the game against RSL, I'm pretty pissed about getting a point at home against the Timbers. Like, it felt like a win, or it was that specific situation that they can easily get the 3 points here and just get the heck out of there, since the for the past few years, I've noticed that this Portland loves to counter. They have speedy attackers, and the Dynamo still have issues taking care of them, even at home. And it's just annoying, honestly.
I mean, yeah, the Timbers have been having some injury problems this year, and obviously we know their quality. But I think we've noticed a pattern since the Dynamo went to Portland. I saw Portland play away in Dallas. Now Portland playing away in Houston. When they're kind of low on fitness, kind of with a bunch of injuries, that they've been starting a lot of their second stringers in the first half, as we saw Dynamo tore them apart 2-0, could have been 3 or 4-0 easily in the first half. And then, sub on all the big guns, Valeri and Co. in the second half, and let them do their thing. And that's been working out for them so far, either grabbing some wins or grabbing some ties on the road, which obviously are not easy to come by in MLS. So that's a bit annoying. But honestly, Andres, after what I would call a disappointing week, I think we would both agree, 2 points, one at home, one at away, is disappointing overall. The RSL game made me so angry. I don't know if you guys saw my Twitter rants. That just, I don't know why, the way we were playing, obviously it's on the road, I just felt like we didn't have the ball at all. No chances created, and then, you know, Mr. Maxi Arruti doing what he does best all season, pulling something out of nothing with Tyler Pascher. And so, obviously, really happy to see that, but just upset that we gave away such an easy set-piece goal, and then the lack of chance creation until Darwin Quintero comes on, who we haven't seen in a while, spice things up. But, you know, our favorite Dynamo player, Ari Lassiter, couldn't get things done, unfortunately.
Okay.
shades of Wilmer Cabrera's with the substitutes we're seeing lately. I don't know if that's Tab. I don't know if that's the quality of our depth. But man, that was just an overall frustrating week, in my opinion. What are your main thoughts on both of those ties?
Oh yeah, at minimum, last week we had to get 4 points, and that's a bare minimum. Like, considering that we had a winnable game against Portland, and on the road, obviously, where we we need all the points we can get on the road. And they did that on the road, but the problem was the game at home, because they tied a game they almost won. And like that's one of the reasons why I'm mostly upset about the Portland game. Like, just looking at the replays, like just looking at how the Dynamo just asserted their dominance in the first half, and just to throw it away in the second half, it makes me so upset, honestly. And yeah, like, and just for that result at home, now they have to get all the points they can get on the road and not afford to lose more games at home. Like, if they even want to dream about playoffs. And
yeah, I think now it's when it gets a little bit more serious. Obviously, we're in that what do they call it, the summer swamp months of MLS. And like everybody talks about, I know we're tired of talking about it, it's when the Dynamo kind of lose their most steam. And right now is when we need a crucial and convincing home win against Cincinnati, in my opinion. I think fans and this team could, obviously anybody could use it, you know, just an absolute 3-0 drubbing of Cincinnati. We need confidence. We're about to go on a away stretch of 3 games, I believe, to Seattle. We're going to go away to Vancouver. And one other team, I think San Jose, if I'm correct.
Yeah, so pretty much our next home game is at home against FC Cincinnati. And after that, the week after, on a Wednesday, it's going to be this. We're playing the Sounders on the road. Obviously, that was going to be one of the toughest games of the season, because the Sounders are, like, every single season, they look unbeatable.
This year, they're crazy.
Right now, they haven't lost a game yet, too. So, yeah. Like, they're also, like, one of the best teams in the league, in my opinion, if not the best. And, like, they're so complete. And, like, it's really difficult for me to see them, like, getting a result here. But at the same time, they have to do what they can to get as many points after dropping those in Portland. And
yeah.
And after that one, the good news is that they do have a bye week. And which is from after that Wednesday up until the 20th. The 20th, they do play on the road against Vancouver. Also, a Cascadia team with turf. We've never won there in Vancouver. And also, after that, we do play on the same week, San Jose on Saturday, and which is another road game. But this is one of those games that I can see them getting a result, as San Jose is stronger right now. And they just fired their GM, I believe. Even though I find Almeida's tactics really interesting, they fail sometimes, and I feel like it happened also in the season opener against them, and yeah, like it's still possible still to get a result, but yeah. Out of all those 3 games, that's the game I see them getting as many points as they can.
Well, yeah, it's just that's obviously even more in the future. That's what makes this weekend's game against Cincinnati a 6-point game. You know how they say it counts as double. After failing to get 3 points at home last week against Portland, we need a convincing win, and we need 3 points to keep our space in the table. We've all been laughing about FC Dallas's, measly start to the season, but I looked at the table, and I believe they're only like 3 or 4 points behind us now. Just that quick after they picked up a win, and we dropped points this week. So obviously, you know, our goal is to make playoffs, whatever, screw what FC Dallas is, but obviously we want to be ahead of our rivals Austin and Dallas in the table, and that's something. And lastly, I just wanted to pinpoint also some players that have been doing well and some players that have been struggling. And you guys let us know in, you know, on Twitter, on Reddit, wherever afterwards, your opinions on what I think. So, first, the positive, I think Derek Jones, I think Marco Maric, and I think Arudi and Passer have been carrying this team lately. They've been absolutely nuts. Derek Jones, especially. I loved what he was showing against RSL, sitting in front of the center backs. And that's not a slight on Tim Park or anything, but I don't know. After I watched him lose that header against Jeremy Bobasi last week, he was in my doghouse for the week. But obviously, still love Tim. You know, no slight on him, but I've been so impressed with Jones and Maric for a huge, especially Maric. Without him, we definitely would have been taking an L on the road. What do you think?
Yeah, like those are still the players that I look forward to the most this season. Them as well as Favapico. Him scoring a goal this past week in the Portland game, and
he's gonna be well rested for this game too. He was suspended for the RSL game.
Yeah, he was suspended due to yellow card accumulation for the game against RSL. That's why he didn't play. But he's gonna be well rested, and he's more than likely gonna be involved in a goal or two over the course of the next few days, and or this week hopefully, and yeah, it's gonna be He's going to have some good momentum heading into the game against Cincinnati.
For sure.
I feel like he's Jeff Cameron's homecoming. Yeah.
Exactly. And then I just wanted to point, you know, obviously not to hate on anybody, but just to, you know, to analyze correctly both sides and be partial. Matias Vera lately, I think, has been struggling quite a bit with the Dynamo. And also, we got to point out Memo. I don't know if it's just the fitness, you know, those back-to-back games are obviously a huge struggle. But Memo Rodriguez and Matias Vera, I think, are two players that have been a bit underwhelming lately. And Matias Vera will be out with yellow card accumulation versus FC Cincinnati, which, you know, obviously he's a key cog in our system. But, you know, maybe it might do him some well to sit this game out, have a breather and recollect before, you know, coming back in against Seattle. But hopefully Memo, like, you know, everybody knows what he can do. We've talked about it so many times. Tab knows what he can do. But just the consistency, man. And he's been totally absent these past few games. And he's calling out for a home game with a, you know, full stadium behind him now that we have a full capacity. You know, hopefully bag a goal, bag an assist, and get the 3 points done.
Yeah. Would you like to add anything else before we move on to the Dynamo news from last week?
No, sir.
Yeah, I feel like we did like a pretty good summary of the games from last week, especially considering the disappointing results. But yeah, other than that, the two games, there's been a ton of Dynamo news from last week. Obviously, the biggest one being the announcement of Tetsi Goal, officially announces the new majority owner of the Dynamo. James Harden, Ben Gwill, and Oscar De La Hoya are returning as minority owners, as well as Gabriel Benner being essentially downgraded. But apparently they're going to have like a lesser role as minority owners. So, and I'm just looking through the press conference with Tetsi Goal. I was fairly surprised by the announcements made in the middle of the press conference. One of them being the signing of Sinéad Chadebe as a designated player, re-signing Tim Parker to a 3-year contract, I believe. And also the announcement of Jamie Roots as the club CEO for Dynamo and Dash. Former GM and president for the Columbus Crew, back when the league was announced, I believe, back in 1996, and that of all those announcements, I was with those in mind. I was very, very surprised, honestly. Like, I've never, like, just going back through like Dynamo history and just like making those kinds of announcements in a press conference is kind of unprecedented.
Yeah. That's definitely unheard of.
Yeah, unheard of. Like, even a designated player, like, why?
Anywhere in MLS. I don't think any owner has ever, you know, a little expletive here, you know, balls to the wall coming out and ownership, really proving what he has and saying, you know, we got to be iffy because the Teenage Adebe signing was in the works for a while. So, but it seems like a Tetsi Goal definitely gave him the green light when they had to go and spend DP money on him, which is something Dynamo fans aren't used to.
Yeah, apparently, like, he was sought after when the Dynamo came in to acquire him, so they had to use one of their two DP spots to get him with some MLS moolah, you know, and yeah.
Yes, sir, young money.
Yeah, the young money, and also as for today, this game, the press conference for Jamie Roots, it's gonna be happening soon, so I'll be looking forward to see what he has to say, and yeah, like, we did talk about a lot about Tetsi Goal in last week's episode. And obviously there's not much to talk about from this one other than the fact that you just have to wait and see, like I said in the last episode. Even though I was surprised and I definitely welcome the announcements, which could bring reassurance to fans. That we still have to wait and see. Obviously, with Tinéad Chadebe as a DP, he has to materialize. He has to essentially prove his worth as a designated player, and obviously with the Dynamo's track record in DPs, it's 50-50 pretty much. So we just have to wait and see.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. You know, even if he just does, what would I say, above a mediocre level, that'll be a great stability having him and Tim Parker in the back. But you know, we don't want to spend too much time on this. But you guys have heard so much about Tetsi Goal. Like we're saying, we don't want to comment too much because, you know, he's already proven, you know, kind of shown himself from the start with these key signings, with these key kind of motions of where his ownership is going to be, and you can tell he wants to be in charge. He wants to take responsibility. So we're just going to wait and see what his actions tell us in the future. But we also had Christian Ramirez leaving the Dynamo this week on permanent transfer to Aberdeen Football Club over in Scotland. So, you know, we wish the best to Ramirez. He didn't have to be completely honest, he didn't have the chance that he was expecting in Houston, whether for one reason or another. He didn't have his fair shake, and, you know, bygones be bygones, and wish him the best in Aberdeen to him and his family. And now the Dynamo have a open backup striker slot to fill. So that'll be interesting coming into this July transfer window, if that's filled through international slot, through a domestic slot, and that'll be definitely one to keep an eye on, Andres.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm just happy for Christian. Obviously, he's going to get more time at Aberdeen. And, yeah, he's, like, definitely one of those players that played for the team and played for the fans. And he was essentially a fan favorite, too. So yes, we're wishing the best for him. And, obviously, whatever's ahead over the course of time. And, yeah, we just hope he scores all the goals so he can become the next Daryl Dike. Yeah.
UEFA Conference League right there, baby.
UEFA Conference League, yes.
But let's move on and talk about the Dashes game from last week to not get stuck too much and finish up our little rapid fire episode. But finally, 3 points from the Dash over we can call the Space City rivalry, the Space rivalry,
Space Race.
Orlando doesn't even deserve that name.
Yeah, apparently they did unveil their space jerseys, and they automatically deemed themselves as Space City. So
no, that's disrespect right there.
I'm not gonna lie, their jerseys are pretty awesome.
Yeah,
pretty slick.
Jerseys are fire, but they didn't get 3 points.
Yeah, they just feel kind of cocky and they just like space is ours now. Yeah, they Orlando, like, heading into this game, they were I believe the only team that was undefeated at the time in NWSL, and the Dash did manage to get the 3 points at home in a 2-1 win over them. And this kind of a bittersweet game, obviously, with the Dash getting the 3 points, which is pretty sweet, but also being Maria Sanchez's last game before heading back to Monterrey to end her loan spell. It's bittersweet also because this was the game she scored her first goal with the Dash and to win it, and it just feels kind of awkward, honestly. Like,
yes,
I definitely expected Maria to be an influence here, and she did. But we're definitely gonna miss her.
I mean, it's worrying for me because obviously Rachel Daly's gone for the Olympics already. The other people that got called up to the Olympics, who we don't have the list in front of us right now, but we'll definitely highlight next episode to talk about, you know, Mewis and all the other Canadian players that got called up to their respective Olympic teams so far. But I'm just worried now, you know, we lost Daly, we lost Sanchez. Who's going to pick up the slack in the attack? But in terms of Maria Sanchez, I know it's bittersweet and honestly awkward. She barely had any time here. But I don't think a player comes on loan for 1 month if something isn't working behind the scenes. So I'm not saying that she's going to come to the Houston right away. I think she's, from what it seems, she's going to go focus on the Mexican national team, maybe play another season with Tigres. But I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we see Maria Sanchez back in the Houston Dash sometime next year, hopefully. Because who does a 1 month loan like that? Unless they were looking for a little trial run, see if she likes it here, see if we like her on the team. What do you think about that?
Oh yeah, she's definitely coming back. The timing, I'm still unsure about that, but I feel like she's definitely coming back. Yeah, the Dash did go out of their way to get her rights, to her playing rights in NWSL. Yeah. And I feel like 1 month isn't enough. So there's definitely some things that they're most definitely working on right now.
That was just the Marvel origin story for Maria Sanchez, in my opinion. No, she's got to come back and full-blown supervillain.
Oh, yeah, maybe, like, I still think she's a valuable asset for Tigres down there. And that's one of the major factors as to why she was on loan in the first place. So I'm sure they just have to work on the details and everything else. But yeah, she'll be back eventually.
But I mean, I was just looking at the NWSL table, Andres, and it's crazy. All the teams have either played 8 or 7 games so far. The Dash currently sitting at 7 games played, I believe in 7th place, right outside of the playoff line. Which obviously there's only like 10 teams in NWSL, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong. So it's kind of a weird moment, because if the Dash, for example, picked up another game and were level on 8.8 games with the other teams, we would certainly be like in a fight for second and third place right away. So it's live or die kind of mentality right now in NWSL, because two bad results can set you back way down on the table, and one or two good results right away can really put you up in the battle for second and third. So it's definitely interesting. We talk about consistency, but I think you really have no excuse in NWSL with being able to move up and down the table so quickly.
Oh, yeah. The Dash, this past couple of weeks, they got on the same boat as the Dynamo, being with the fact that they've been dropping points and getting into the same position with the Dynamo, in the sense that they're dropping positions from the standings. And without those, without earning those results, they're always going to drop. And yeah, just with like this victory, obviously it means a lot to them, beating out the only undefeated team at the time in the league. And yeah, it just boosts their confidence, and also keeping in mind that they're going to lose some players for the Olympics. And yeah, which I feel like is a pretty good segue to just cover the news from Dash, being that three Dash players, aside from Rachel Daly, did get called up for the Olympics, being Chrissy Mewis and Alicia Chapman and Michelle Prince. Chrissy Mewis is going to be representing the United States. And another interesting note from this one is that Jane Campbell is going to be in the alternate roster, so essentially as a backup. So
and
she,
Sophie Schmidt too, right, for Canada?
It's going to be Alicia Chapman and Michelle Prince initially. I believe she could be like in the alternate roster for them, but it's just, yeah.
You guys correct us if we're wrong there, but I swear I saw that she was going to be reserve. Y'all let us know about that.
Yeah, she could be reserved, because I am in the Dash website right now, and it says Alicia Chapman and Michelle Prince, so it could be that. And yeah, so essentially Jane Campbell and Sophie Schmidt should be in the alternate rosters as far as I know. As for Chrissy Mewis, Alicia Chapman, and Michelle Prince are going to be representing their countries out there, along with Rachel Daly. So good stuff. Obviously, we already talked about Houston influencing the gold game, and yeah, hopefully one of them is going to bring them the gold medal or all the medals. We'll see. So
what can we expect, though, from this Friday's game against the Reign at home? It's going to be one of the few teams that's behind the Dash in the table. The Reign with 7 points currently, and the Dash with 10. So obviously only 3 points in one game separating them. But, you know, we know all Reign has the big names, but obviously the results haven't come. It's got to be 3 points at home again for the Dash, right? No excuses there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I've noticed, like, from the last game the Dash played against them on the road, I didn't, like, not much stood out for me. They were, like, a pretty slow team to either, like, penetrate defensively, but at the same time, they're not, like, an offensive threat or anything. They're not, I'd say that, like, they are second to last place in the standings. And, like, even though, like, this is a pretty winnable game for the Dash, that's still the worrying part about it, being a winnable game for the Dash, since we've been in this boat before. We were in the same place. The Dash have to secure those 3 points, but they still have to show. They still have to earn it. Essentially, like just watching the games for the Dash, they try to build up the offensive dominance. Like we've seen it before and again, but they never score those goals. So they just have to work on that. Honestly, that's the only thing I'm worried about heading into this one, and yeah, we just have to wait and see what happens. Hopefully, James is working through that. Me being optimistic, but yeah. We just have to wait and see what this one.
It'll be interesting too, because the Reign and the Dash have kind of exchanged some players in the recent past. So we'll have Sofia Huerta and Amber Brooks coming back to Houston. See a little bit of a homecoming there. See how that goes. I know Huerta isn't a full-blown starter at all with Oval Reign, but just the last thing to touch on, they have a kind of, you know, they have the big names that we've been talking about, but the last game I saw, they started Megan Rapinoe, Eugenie Le Sommer from France, and the other German player, Marozan, up top. So that's a pretty big name, scary front three. So we'll see if we can at least hold off some of those big names and ruin their party before the Olympics, if they haven't left yet. But you know, with the short episode, we do only have 5 more minutes. So we're just going to go ahead and cover the Dynamo's next game against FC Cincinnati, which we already talked about a little bit. A 6-point game, in a sense, super important before we go on a 3-game road trip. FC Cincinnati, obviously, let's be real, a little bit of a laughing stock of MLS in the past years, splashing the cash, but on the wrong players. We're going to see the homecoming of Jeff Cameron for the first time since, if I'm not mistaken, since he last played for the Dynamo over 10 years ago as an all-star. So that'll be interesting. And we know he said some choice words about the Dynamo ownership in the past, the Dynamo organization. A lot of those people aren't here anymore. So the main thing I'm worried about on this is that Cincinnati just went 2 games on the road and picked up 6 points in the last week. Obviously, with a grain of salt, they went against the worst team against Chicago and got 3 points. And then they grabbed 3 points from, who was it, Miami, if I'm not mistaken?
Could be right, but just to expand on that a little bit. Yeah, like I see Toronto, Cincinnati. No, it's okay. I see Cincinnati, and I see them being a really offensive team, like even though the standings may not say otherwise. I feel like they're starting to click with the last couple of results. They've been a team that, as you said before, they have a ton of resources, but it seems that as of right now, they're still working on how to expand, like, just pretty much do those expenses. And yeah, they just got their shiny new stadium, but they're going to be playing on the road here. And and yeah, like, it's going to be a homecoming for Jeff Cameron. It's been a weird timeline with him, like, after he left. Obviously, him being pretty vocal against the Barrett situation when he was the interim coach, and obviously the ownership. And yeah, it's going to be an interesting game with this narrative, and also a must 3 points for Dynamo.
And last night I had the pleasure of being on the Cincinnati Sport Soccer Talk podcast with some of the guys over there. Happy to talk Dynamo with them for 30 minutes. You guys go and check that one out. You can find it on Dynamic Foxtrot Twitter. Andres shared it. But some of the insight they gave me about Cincinnati is that Ronald Matarita and Alan Cruz already left on national team duty for their Gold Cup for Costa Rica early. So that'll be maybe to the Dynamo's advantage. They told me that they think they're scared, at least, of the Dynamo midfield. I haven't heard that much before, but and they think it could be a midfield battle for the Dynamo to win since Alan Cruz is going to be out. And they told me that lately they've been playing a 4-3-3 as well, but they wouldn't be surprised if Yap Stam dropped to a 5 in the back formation with 3 center backs to kind of make up defensively there. And that'll just be interesting because, you know, Cincinnati, like we said, on the confidence of 6 points on the road from last week. And, you know, they're used to the heat. They played against Toronto last week in Florida. And you know, the thing I'm scared about that I'm going to highlight last before we send off is the Dynamo have been really weak on set pieces and corners lately, both attacking and defending. I'm afraid of Jeff Cameron's height, honestly. And, you know, they got Nick Haglund and a couple other big guys there. So I really hope the Dynamo clean it up in the air. I just always feel like we're going to concede from a cross, from a corner. And I just hope that doesn't happen anymore. And also on the attacking aspect, I really hope, if Memo is the one that keeps taking set pieces, I really hope he cleans it up because the delivery has been poor. And honestly, nobody's been up top to even be a threat in the air. So, I predicted on Cincinnati Soccer Talk that the Dynamo are going to win 3-2. I would hope to let in less goals, but, I'm thinking it'll be similar to what we saw against Portland, but obviously the guys are going to have something to prove. And I feel like, not to be negative, but I feel like we're going to give up a set piece goal off a header, and I think we're going to give up a penalty. Hopefully it's 3 points no matter what. And, I think we'll see the boys attacking and scoring a lot of goals for sure. But from my end, that's it for the episode. Andres, anything else you want to say?
Oh, yeah. A couple of things, actually. First, LA wants to win. And second, Dynamo Lone Army update. I'm going to do it real quick, though. So Marcel Palomino scored his third goal. For Charlotte Independence against Eric McHugh's Charleston Battery. So Eric McHugh did start as well as Marcel Palomino, but Eric McHugh got taken out of the second half, and that's when Charlotte Independence scored 2 goals, one of them being Marcel Palomino's penalty. So yeah, shout out to Palomino. Shout out to his goal, his third goal on loan.
More penalty goals than Mbappe, right?
Yeah, And just unlucky for Eric McHugh to be taken out. That's being one of the reasons why his team conceded two goals at the end. But yeah, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this episode. It's been like a pretty quick one. And yeah, thank you just for holding on to this new format that we're trying out. And yeah, stay noodle, guys.
Hopefully not permanent, you know, just hopefully our schedules line up better in the future. But let us know what y'all think about this episode, and let's hope for 3 good points for our road trip. So stay noodle as well, guys. Take it easy.
Yeah.